Song, and we're trying to get loud, but there's not enough of us to get real loud, you know, and my throat can only do so much. But I saw a picture of a skeleton, and when I was in college, I had a class that made me memorize every bone in the body, which was really a challenge for me to do, but I did it. And I saw this picture of, you know, like if you have a skeleton, but all the bones just fall on the ground and they're just scattered. And in this picture in my mind, I saw like the different bones in the body just coming up and attaching and attaching and attaching and attaching. And some bones were real bold, you know, like the femur, that's the strongest bone in the body. You know, the elbow, those things were bold. They came up first. And then there's like, but we need all the bones. And there's some bones aren't so bold. Some bones are quiet. Like there's a little finger. And you know your little bitty toe, the one that hurts the worst when you hit it on something? It's like they're all important. And as the body of Christ, as we're going through this journey we're on, we're just part of the bones of the body of Christ. And you're a bone in this body, and we're a bone together in the bodies in the world. And every bone's important. And let's don't forget that. We're trying, what Bryant said and what Pastor Tim was saying, we really are. It's about encountering God. It's about connecting with Him. When you are you with Him, that's when the kingdom of God's released on earth, right? And it's amazing. So today, I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects. Of course, I'm still talking about the shame-free gospel, but it's so important that we understand this part. And I'm looking at the clock, so I got a time schedule in my head. This is so important. And you know, mindfulness is a big deal in our world today, right? It's if you have watched media at all, if you watch on the internet, on television, anything, you'll see people talking about mindfulness, and it's a big deal. And this really is about being mindful. It really is, and I just want to show you some things about it. Here's the definition out of Webster's for mindfulness. Mindfulness is maintaining a non-judgmental state of heightened or complete awareness of one's thoughts, emotions, experiences on a moment-to-moment basis. And that's so important. And there's one word in that sentence which is exactly true about the gospel. The first thing we talked about was no judgment zone. A heightened awareness without judgment. It's so important that you recognize the symptoms in your body. And your body will communicate with you. It flat out will. And it's life or death whether you pay attention to it or not. I mean, it'll communicate through emotions. It'll communicate through feelings. Some of you are real sensitive to your body. Others of us are just ignorant of what's going on. And usually other people have to tell us, right? Dr. Paul Brand, a medical missionary to India, I love that guy. I just love reading his books. He could actually, of course, he worked during the 40s and 50s, 60s, or I guess the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, those decades. He could put his finger on you and tell you within half a degree of what your temperature was. Like when he became a doctor, they didn't have all the testing equipment and the x-rays and the sonograms and all that stuff, you know, MRIs and all that stuff. They didn't have all that. You know what he did? He would touch you. He would touch your organs. He would touch you and make diagnosis based on the symptoms you had. And it's so important. Some of us can't tell if we have a fever. We can't tell if we're cold. And it's not healthy. So mindfulness is really don't be judgmental. You want to know if you're sick. It doesn't mean you're bad. You want to know if you have high blood pressure. Don't wait until I have to come see you at the funeral home. I went drastic there, didn't I? But it's really true. It's not bad. You know, I remember, I told some of you this because it's just on my mind. 20 years ago, Harvey and his dad had like 27 rental properties, like house trailers in like the ghettos around Jacksonville and different places. And Harvey and his dad would literally do all of the work on all of these rental properties that they had. And Harvey was working all the time. And we had just started our church and we had just moved into the building up on the hill across the interstate from here. And we had like 5 people who could actually work. I mean, not work at carpentry stuff. Okay, we had 3. basically me, Harvey, and Tim Valentine. And Tim Valentine was a young man. He was only in his 20s. Harvey was in his early 60s. I was in my 40s, right? And it was a two-story building. There's upstairs. And I remember after a while, Harvey, when he would walk up the stairs, when he got to the top, he would be just like, and I'm like, that's not like Harvey. I mean, you know, he was in great shape. And after a couple of weeks of that, and I'm just noticing, he just can't catch his breath. I'm like, Harvey, you need to, that might be something. It might be a symptom that you need to pay attention to. I mean, I'm not very medical, but I'm like, there's something wrong with this short, strong man. And he goes to the doctor, and he had a blockage. I don't remember which artery, but it was like 99-100% blocked. And he'd just gotten there in time to keep from having a stroke, which can be serious no matter what happens. And he's in there, and they go in. Back then, they always went up through the groin, and they go into his that artery or vein, I don't know which one, off his heart. And Harvey said he actually could watch it on the monitor. They had a TV screen there. He can't see them. They got a curtain. And he saw them put the spring inside of his vein, and the spring or whatever, I don't know how they did it. I really don't know. But it opened up, and instantly he got blood flow. And he said, I was laying on that table, and I went, I feel better. You see, it's so important that we pay attention to symptoms. Mindfulness is all about paying attention to symptoms. There, God is so gracious that He gave you so many early warning signs for your physical body, for your emotional well-being, for your relationships, for your spiritual health. God created us so that symptoms will always show up. So I just want to talk today about symptoms. And I want to talk about something that affects the world. This isn't just a Christian thing. This is a world thing. It's like everyone in the world. And it's really the love of God that He gives us symptoms whenever we're out of whack, whenever there's something wrong with us. He always gives us symptoms. It's His love. It's His love for us. So I want to look at today mindfulness, but I want to look at a specific thing today. I want to look at sin. I want to talk about sin. To the very one of the pillars of the shame-free gospel is actually having a clear biblical understanding of what sin is. And I think that here's an idea that's in our world today, and this is really how we view sin. Well, I just saw Jennifer nodding her head. I thought, Jennifer, she's reached her sin limit today, so you got to back off some. We're that flippant about it. We don't even think about it. It's such a common word for us that we, oh, it's just sin. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. We treat it with flippant arrogance as if it doesn't matter. Listen, every devastating thing in the world, every abusive thing in the world, every bit of pain, every bit of abuse comes from sin as a source. Nothing you've ever experienced that broke your heart didn't originate out of sin. You see, sin is important. Now, I think one of the greatest things the enemy has done is deceive us about this thing. Here's the truth. Sin is worse than you think. Well, I thought Grace wasn't a fear-based church. We're not. We're evidence-based. Look at the symptoms. Because if sin is that bad, if sin is really the foundation of every evil, crazy thing in the world, every addiction, every bondage, every abuse comes from sin, then wouldn't it be important for you to understand what sin is fully? I think we just have a limited definition. I think it's worse, and it's so common for us that we just go, oh, whatever. No, you need to understand sin rightly, according to Scripture, according to God's heart. It is worse than you think. That's what I want you to know today. It's worse than you think. And I'm going to show you two or three different ways, if we get to it, that how bad it really is. And you know why? Why do you need to know that? Because if you know what it is and what it causes, then you can be set free from the effects. If it's causing the pain in this world, if it's causing brokenness, if it's causing addictions, if it's causing broken homes, don't you think it would be nice to know? Because God wants to set us free from that stuff. So that's what we're going to look at. We're looking at sin. Here's the truth. And you think this is just about going to heaven or hell. This is about your daily life. This is about those people who don't agree with us, intelligent people, about the political nature of our country, right? This is about the people that hurt people. This is about the people that are addictions, people that are in bondage, people that are in depression, anxiety, all these other things. It all comes from one place. Now, the wages of sin is death. Now, it's interesting when you look at that. The wages of sin is death. The way most of us thought, we belittled sin by saying that's just talking about death going to hell at the end of your life. You see, the truth is when we do that, we're falling into the trap that Satan wants us to live in. He wants us to go to heaven. If he can't stop you from going to heaven, when you meet Jesus, you're going to heaven. He can't stop you from going there, but he wants you to live in hell on earth. And that's heartbreaking, devastating. Some of you are in relationship or living in this bondage of living in hell on earth right now. Heaven's great, but it's sure going to take a long time to get there. Because my life is miserable. You see, the wages of sin is death. Sin is the problem. The wages are the symptoms. Does that make sense to you? Think about it. Sin's the problem. The wages in Ephesians, the fruit of the flesh, anger, bitterness, adultery, rage, all kinds of bondages, right? You see, sin is the problem. The symptoms are the wages. Now, I want to explain that to you, and I want to give you, and it's true, the gift of God is eternal life, which only comes from connecting with Jesus. There's only life in Him, and there is no other. Connecting with Jesus brings you eternal life. That gives you a hint to what a sin actually is. The real definition of sin is the opposite of connecting with Jesus. So, we're going to go at it. I want to challenge you. Here's what the enemy has done. He's redefined the term sin. In our world, the definition that naturally comes into our minds, and I'm telling you, the media has done this to us. Christian media, secular media, children's books. We have been inundated with a mind-warping onslaught from the media and every place else that's created a definition for sin which leaves us powerless to do anything about it. The devil redefines sin. Here's how the devil defines sin. Sins are generally considered actions, any thought, words, or act considered immoral, selfish, shameful, harmful, or alienating. So basically, sins are things that you're ashamed of. Sins are things that push other people away. Sins are those things you do or those things you don't do. Or sins your attitude. If that's all sin is, that's not so bad. Because most of you control those things. Most of us control most of those things. That's why you're in church right now. You're not doing sin. Unless it's in your brain. And I was taught that the sin in your brain is just as bad as the sin you do. Right? And so, all of a sudden, sin becomes just a thing. And the problem with that definition is, the truth is, the enemy has tricked us. You see, that definition is a deception that comes from the darkness. The devil doesn't want you to know what sin is. He wants you to believe that the symptoms of sin are sin. You know why he wants you to believe that? Because if you believe the symptoms are sin, then you'll never find out what the problem is. And he's hidden the definition, he's hidden the truth about sin in its own definition that we bought into. That isn't what biblical sin is. And we're going to spend some time on this because it's so foreign to what you were taught your whole life. Sin is much worse than doing something or not doing something. It's 1,000 times worse. It's more serious than that. You know, it's sad. The body of Christ hasn't understood this. We bought into a worldly definition of the word sin. And the moment we did that, we quit recognizing the symptoms that will lead us to the problem. You know, I don't know. I'm not real good at symptoms, really, myself. Like, I know there's all kinds of symptoms to recognize all kinds of stuff. And doctors recognize them. But I want to tell you the truth. If you'll pay attention to the symptoms, it'll lead you to the problem. But what if somebody told you, if I'd have told Harvey, don't worry about it. You're 62 years old. You should get winded walking up the stairs. I could have made up all these excuses. And what if Harvey hadn't have gone and gotten that thing taken care of? And we weren't seeing anybody healed at that time either. So it wasn't like there wasn't two options. There was one option. And what if he hadn't have gone? You know, I learned something. I just saw Oliver get up. But I remember with babies, you know, when I was 26 years old and we had our first baby, I did not know what diaper rash was. It is from the pits of hell. And if you wait until it's there to take care of it, you're too late. Right? After a while, I learned about that white pasty stuff you put around their butts. It's like if you preemptively strike, you can keep that kid from getting diaper rash. And I didn't really care about how bad the baby's hurting. It was a hassle when they had diaper rash, right? But I learned about it through the symptoms. And then now I'm an expert. I can spot it a mile away. I'm going to stop there. I was thinking of something. Hide the symptoms until it's too late. That's what the enemy has done when he gave you the wrong definition of sin. He hid the symptoms from you. You don't know what they are. You see, you know why sin is worse than you think? Because sin is all about relationship. That's what sin is, connecting with God, not being connected with Him. Sin is about a love relationship. It's the whole purpose Jesus came to earth so He could be one with us. So the Holy Spirit could be in us and live in us and we would have union with Him. That's the whole purpose. And we took sin away from that reality of the most important thing in Jesus' world and we made it into this list of do's and don'ts that you can control yourself without Jesus. You see, it's confusing and it's hard. Here's what Isaiah 53:6 says. We all like sheep have gone astray. We all, like sheep, are rebellious, blah, 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 horrible. You know, those horrible sheep. No, you know, a sheep's problem? They go away. They go on their own. They go astray. Each has turned to his own way. You know, it's interesting. In the early church, they called believers followers of the way. Followers of the way. Because it was a way of living. As opposed to living in your own strength, you chose to live with Him. And what do? They go their own way. And when they go their own way, and guess what happens? When you go your own way, when I go my own way, the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity. That word iniquity literally means go your own way. You see, all that pain and suffering in the world that is caused by us being separated from God, which is what sin is, the symptoms that causes, all the anger, all the bitterness, all the suffering, all the pain, all the addictions, all the bondages come from separation from God. Well, Alan, that's a little simplistic. Well, so is the Son. Pretty simplistic, pretty powerful. Jesus made it that simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Every problem comes from separation from Him. And the solution to every problem is Him. Now, so what happens? all the pain and suffering the world has ever seen. It's by His stripes we are healed. He carries our burdens. He carries our sorrows. You've got burdens, you've got sorrows. I do too. You know who takes every one of them that we all have? Jesus Christ. Do you know what causes those burdens and those sorrows? Separating from Jesus. And He gets to take the pain away from us. And He doesn't just erase it with an eraser board, like a chalkboard eraser. He takes it and puts it in Himself. He carries our burdens. He carries our sicknesses. He carries our diseases. So, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, our separation from Jesus, that word iniquity is the Old Testament word for sin. Just one of them. I looked up every word for sin, New Testament and Old Testament. Every single word has to do with relationship. There's not one that doesn't. Relationship is the foundation of everything. And so, and what happens? Whenever we walk away from God, something takes us away. Oh, maybe it's worse than we think. Iniquity literally means to deviate from the way of living in relationship with Jesus. And the word rebellious, another Old Testament word and a New Testament word. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine. You see, we talk about the shame-free gospel is about, are you trying to follow Jesus? When you do that, you're making your plan with Him. Now, you make mistakes. Sure you do. You get it wrong. Sure you do. You know how you'll know you got it wrong? There will be symptoms. Isn't that simple? But whenever you're doing it with Him, you're making an alliance with Him, and you've got a good Father taking care of you. When you are executing a plan but not His, when you and I are going our own way, you see, we don't call that sin. What if you go your own way and you do something righteous? I mean, God love a duck, right? Listen, give money because we want to get Chris Vanna off the stage. Even if you don't ask Jesus and you do it in independence, do it. But you will have symptoms for doing that without Jesus, even when you do a good thing. That's what He's saying in Isaiah. Who execute a plan, but not my plan. And make an alliance. You see, every time you and I choose to go a different way than Jesus, we're making an alliance. Literally, and it's not His Spirit. So all of a sudden, where do these addictions come from? Where does the bondages come from? Where do the mental disorders come from? Where does our physical bondages come from, and the health in our bodies and everything else, relational problems, governmental problems, everything? Where does it come from? It comes from making a plan without Him. And when you don't make a plan with Him, you're making a plan with somebody, and you don't want to owe Him money, trust me. He collects. He does every time. Rebellion. You know what that word literally means? The willful breach of a relationship. Oh. When I walk in rebellion, I willfully am choosing to not have relationship with Jesus, but to go my own way. Like a sheep. It's not that you're bad. It's not that you're evil or putrid. It's the truth is, you've chosen to do it your own way. And when you do that, you're walking in rebellion. Now, you know the fruit of walking in rebellion? Death. Long, progressive, gradual death. Because your good dad is wanting you to know that you got separated from the vine. And death is an instance. It's just like you disciplining a child. You start out with the slightest, the most gentle discipline you can do. And then you progress, hopefully not to the point of death. Even though you made that baby, you can make another one just like him. Trust me. But no, I'm kidding. But it's true. That's how parents, with love. You know how God lets death come into your life? With love. because he wants you to be in relationship with him. When rebellion is against God, it can be translated sin or transgression. When it's against God, it can be against the government. You know the truth? Why is sin so bad? All have sinned. The whole world. The whole world's gone its own way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know why? It's like, the truth is, it's like in John 15, Jesus talked about it. He said, abide in me, walk with me, be in union with me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruits by itself, John 15, 4, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, listen to what he says. So it's true. We have faith. He has power, right? It's abiding in him releases his power in us. Now, why does he do that? This is my Father. By this, abiding in Jesus, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Whenever you're having union with God, the power of God's going to work through your life. And when he works through your life in signs and wonders and miracles and patience and kindness and maturity and caring and giving, when he does all those things, it brings glory to him. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. It's God. It's God. It's God, right? To him gives the glory. Y'all know the song. It's him. All of the glory is to him. So why is it bad for you to sin? Because when you sin, you're breaking connection with the vine, and God doesn't receive glory by blessing you. Now, isn't that the craziest thing? God releases his power in you, and it gives him glory. All of the glory is his. Wait, I thought God had it all already. Yeah, but when you give yourself to him, it gives him more glory. So why is sin so devastating? Because sin cuts you off from relationship with God, and it cuts you off from the power of God working in your life. If you don't have enough of the good things, love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, it's because somewhere in your life, that's a symptom that somewhere in your life you're disconnected at heart level from God. Isn't that the simplest thing in the world? I really do love it. I love it. I love it that we are in relationships. You see, our definition of sin isn't wrong. It's just limited. You were taught sin is actions, thoughts, words, deeds, or not doing deeds. And the whole time, you've been fighting this stuff in your life. You've been giving advice to people who want to get free from crap, stuff. Sorry about that. And the whole time. I said that because I went to a funeral yesterday. Sad, guys. Matter of fact, I couldn't figure it out. I told the pastors this morning at our meeting before the church, I said, you know, I've been messed up all week. Isn't that crazy? We hunted this week. Couldn't hunt to save my life. It was just torture the whole time. And I finally, yesterday, I didn't go yesterday morning, even though it would be the last chance for me to go gun hunting, but I still didn't go. I just came down to pray. And I had to go to this funeral yesterday afternoon. I've known this guy for 40 years. Great guy. Salt of the earth. Really great guy. Addicted to things his whole life. His family's torn to pieces. Went to church all the time. I was at the church where he went at the funeral yesterday afternoon. And before I went to the funeral, I'm at that funeral, and it's hard for me not to break down the whole time. I mean, all for 3 or 4 days, I'm like, God, what is going on? Why am I so sad? I mean, it was sad. You know how when you have a funeral, the people who loved you and that honored you and you impacted their lives, they'll be there, right? they weren't at this guy's funeral. His two closest family members didn't even come. They had reasons, you know. I mean, I'm there. And I wasn't even close to him. I just knew him and saw him two or three times a year for 40 years, basically. I'm like, God, this is so sad. Great guy. Nobody's really here to honor him at all. And he was a Christian. He went to church almost every week. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, I know why I'm sad, God. He was fighting what we define as sin in his life every day. He couldn't win the battle for his mental health. He couldn't win the battle for his addictions. He couldn't win the battle for physical health. He didn't win any of those battles. He never knew that he only had one problem. One problem. There was somewhere he's disconnected with God. If he would have found that out, and nobody was bad. No one intentionally wasn't telling him. I never told him. I didn't know either. Everybody just told him, take more drugs, go to more counseling, do blah, blah, blah. Study your Bible more, do this more. When the whole time there was one thing, sin was causing those symptoms, and he was fighting the symptoms with every ounce of his strength his whole life. Broke my heart. So sad. I thought, oh Lord, set us free from the definition we all have of sin. Help us to see that it's really about you. It's all you, Jesus. It's all relationship with you, everything. And help us to see that those symptoms aren't not, you know, I love the definition of mindfulness, non-judgmental look at symptoms. Do you have symptoms? Every one of you sitting in the chair has a symptom, has symptoms, plural. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says we all do. 1 John, if any man says he's without sin, he's a liar and the Spirit of God is not in him. And you thought you could live without it. No, there's always somewhere else I can be connected with the Lord. Until I go to heaven, there's always more. I never reach the place. But the symptoms go away and become less and less and less and less. And y'all think that some people are just wonderful and us other people, we just have struggles. It's not true. We're all equal. We're all on the equal playing field. The truth is, God wants us to have connection with Him. And when we don't, His love is going to give us symptoms showing us the problem that's destroying us rather than give us a futile life of fighting the symptoms. You'll never win that battle because you're doing that battle without Jesus. Jesus is right here. It's all about your heart. So I made it halfway through. There's more reasons why sin is so bad. There's more reasons it's worse than you think. And I'll go into those next time I speak. I think that's enough for today. I just challenge you to, it's so hard for us to get past it. I was telling somebody this morning, I graduated high school in 1976, so I was a young teenager during the Vietnam War, and the media and the political whatever driving the world at that time tried to turn us all against the military. Do y'all remember when that happened? How horrible that was, how we treated the Vietnam veterans, spitting on them and all the Jane Fonda's bondage stuff. And you know, it's like, you see, I almost bought into that, except for I had great respect for men and women who laid their lives down to serve their country. So I wouldn't fully buy in, but I was not wanting to go to Vietnam. And I'd been brainwashed, and it's like it just happened. It was in so much of our culture that 90% of the U.S. or 80%, whatever it was, bought into that stupidity. It's just bondage is all it was. Well, you know, the truth is your definition of sin and my definition of sin has been so ingrained in us, it's going to be hard for us to get away from really cute. It's right, cute. Sin is smoking and drinking and chewing and dating girls who do. It's not. Yeah, I know. You're going to go out and start smoking and drinking and chewing. Or at least you're going to quit hiding like the Baptist people do. Right? I was a Baptist, so I understand. No, sin is one thing, and it's relational. And when you begin to see that and understand that, know that, you'll quit judging yourself for all of your failures, for all of your bondages, for all your symptoms. You want to know if you're disconnected. Harvey needed to know that he had a blocked artery that was about to cause a heart attack. You want to know. You really do. And if you know, then you can live. And if you know, when you look at other people, you see symptoms and not character. You see symptoms and not essence of being. You see symptoms and not race, religion, gender, intelligence, political viewpoints. You see symptoms. And now you look at people the way Jesus did. Paul said, Jesus, one time I looked at Jesus through judgmental eyes. He said, I don't do that anymore, and I don't look at you that way either. You know why Paul could say that? He understood that sin is a broken relationship. The consequences of sin are the symptoms. Guys, God wants to set you free. He wants to set us free as a church, as a nation. He wants to set us free. So I just challenge you to think about this. We're going to look at it again. Next week, I've asked Harvey and if he'll get his team that just got back from Guatemala to talk about their trip. I think this was a very significant trip. Only four of them went, which usually there's 10 to 12 go, or at least. But I think this trip was setting a course for something very, very important. They had crazy, crazy encounters with God, crazy miracles. But I want them to share next week, so they'll be doing most of the service next week. And then maybe in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about sin again, and it's worse than you think. It is. You won't want to sin anymore when you find out what it really does. You're like, oh God, I don't want to have a broken relationship anymore because this is what happens when I do. Okay? So let's all stand up. Thank you for being patient with me. I actually knew I was on that. I got halfway through of my message. So I knew I sort of thought I might. It's Thanksgiving week, you know. Thanksgiving, I love that sign they have at the Church of Christ down the road from us. It's like, it's more than just a holiday. It's a way of life. When you understand sin, you can be thankful all the time. You really can. God is so good. So this morning, here's the deal. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of there is death. You see, maybe you've been living that way that seems right, and you're starting to see that maybe this isn't a good way to live. I want to invite you to follow Jesus the way He lived. It's a good way to live. You'll have good symptoms. The consequences are good. If you've never made that decision, this would be a great day to say, you know what? I'll have something to be thankful for the rest of my life. I personally, I've not met anyone who met Jesus who wasn't thankful for it. Ever. God wants you to come to Him. And if you'll come to Him, He'll release His power in you, and that'll give Him glory. So this morning, I just want to invite you to come. So we're going to be dismissed in a second. And if you'd like to accept Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, your everything, this would be a good day to do it. So there'll be somebody up here to pray for you. If you have anything going on in your life and you need to have an encounter with God because of physical problems, emotional problems, relational problems, there'll be somebody up here to pray with you. And it's about encountering Him, right? We want to encounter Him. Also, we still have the communion table set up, so you're welcome to come up and partake of communion. It's a huge thing to I don't know, even before you leave this place and you go out and get real busy this week, to go, you know what? Jesus, I'm going to take the cup. I'm going to take the bread, your body, and it brings life to me. So the communion table's open. We have people up here to pray for you. And let's have encounters with him. And that's where life comes from. So let's pray. So God, I just want to thank you for today, for your, Lord, I ask that you would give us all more revelation about how to define sin rightly, how to see sin the way you see it, and how to see ourselves the way you see us, and how to see people the way you see them. So God, I just ask for greater revelation that we'd understand that sin really is worse than we've ever thought. God, I pray for my friends today that they would all have encounters with you. Any place in their life where they have a need, a desire, a want, a lack, Jesus, you would have encounters with them today. So communion table's open, the front's open to pray, and greet each other. Give each other a good word before you leave today. It'd be a good idea. Amen? So God bless you guys. You're dismissed.